Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. It's Sunday, so if it's Sunday, it's the Everyday Saturday spiritual podcast with Pastor Sam Crowley. That's my new name now. And also, I'm Pastor Sam Crowley for a reason, so give me about a couple seconds. I got to take a couple shots at the lovely Pastor Shane Harden. Shane, do you mind if I take a couple shots at you?
Hit me.
All right. He doesn't get a choice anyway. He's in our studio. Shane's been absent for a couple weeks. I'm not sure what. We got to ask him what he's been doing, what's kept him away from his calling. over the past couple weeks, but I've taken on the name Pastor Samuel P. Crowley. Shane, are you okay with that?
PSC.
P.S. P.S. It's Pastor Sam. So anyway, I've been holding up your end of the show and mine for the past couple weeks.
How's that been going?
Phenomenal.
I've not been listening.
What's that?
Not that I didn't listen.
Yeah, don't you know? What? I won't even ask you what the show's been about over the past couple of weeks. I feel a lot of extra grace coming from God. I feel it's beautiful being able to take tithes and donations now through the show as a pastor.
Are you tax exempt now?
I am. I didn't realize all the perks that come as a result of that, man. I listen to people's problems now and things like that, and then I just ask them for a donation, and the show's been going great. Really good stuff, man.
That's
really
wrong in so many ways.
Hey, so we got Shane Harden. Shane, seriously, good to have you back.
Great to be here, man.
So, hey, we want to talk about, Shane brought this up literally 2 seconds ago. I said, Shane, what do you want to talk about? And he said, why we don't do the things we know we should be doing. And I thought that was a phenomenal topic. So, Shane, what do you have on your mind? What does that even mean? Give us an idea.
Well, I love the idea studying resistance. You know, we resist doing things, everything from, I know I should lose weight, but I refuse to work out.
Yeah.
But we know
to
work out is to lose weight, or to stop eating something I shouldn't be eating. And that carries into every part of our lives, into our spiritual lives, into our work lives, into our family, into our relationships. There are things we know that we should do that we don't do. And I really feel like this is part of when someone says, I don't hear God speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think partly it's he's speaking a lot of times. We just are resisting doing the things that he's saying. And he does it through, he's already given us the knowledge and the brain to say, these are the things you know you should be doing, but we just don't do them.
So with that being said, I've always had a problem of trying to figure out if it's God speaking to me or if I'm just hearing myself, you know. And I say, and people laugh when I say that, but I'm serious. I don't know if it's God speaking to me or if it's my subconscious or my inner Sam Crowley I'm channeling, you know. How do you tell the difference, you know? Like,
well, one, if it was the inner Sam Crowley, it's good.
Come on now, be nice. Be nice.
No, you know, I think sometimes if we're walking with God and growing with him, then the inner voice that we have, if Christ lives in us, then it's him speaking in us and through us. And I think if you really boil down every decision, you can find out, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to grow me in my relationship with him? Is it going to further his kingdom here on earth? Or is it going to take away from that? And I think very rarely do we come to a crossroads where that decision is going to say, God's never going to call you to rob a bank. He's never going to call you to cheat on your taxes or so those type of decisions that we come to and we're like, what's going to happen when it's a big decision, like should I quit my job, which you talk a lot about, you know, doing something from home. I think you're helping people see their steps to that. You know, there's testing. Step out on faith and test it, and if it's supposed to be, you'll feel confirmation by that. You're going to grow in your joy and your peace in your life. And sometimes it's a little chaotic.
Yeah.
But it's all part of that process of growing. And I think we fail to do some just because of fear. And fear is not from God. And so the longer that the enemy, being Satan, can keep us from doing something that God wants us to do, the more he wins and God loses. And so he wants to create obstacles in our lives to keep us from doing the things we know we should be doing.
If you relate that back to, which I accept that explanation, the only thing that's difficult is some of the things that feel good to do in the moment don't glorify God long term. But, you know, it feels good to not go to the gym. It feels good to shave a couple of bucks here off a business deal when you know it's not the right thing to do. But real, what's a couple bucks, man?
Right.
Nobody's going to know. Here's the thing. What if nobody finds out about it, but just what if it doesn't hurt anybody? Like, so I don't pay $1,000 more in taxes this year. It's not going to hurt the government. I know God doesn't like it, but I can always ask for forgiveness. So what's the big deal? Nobody gets hurt. No harm, no foul.
Yeah, I think, though, it goes back to we're talking a lot about character in this new series at church. And, you know, our character long-term, those little things pile up on us. And we become prisoned by those little things that we just give. And though it may seem like a secret sin, you know, nothing's secret to God.
A secret sin. I've never heard, like, a secret sin is just, it's just between you and God, right?
It's between you and God. And a lot of times things in the dark that aren't brought out into light grow. And the things that grow in the dark are usually ugly stuff. You know, it's mold and it's things that are in the dark.
That, dude. Yeah.
But in the light, when the light shines on it, God heals those things. And so secret sin, like everything from addictions to pornography, things that, like, as men, we think it's just me and the computer. Nobody really cares what I look at. And addiction so grabs a hold of our heart long term. We can't be freed from it because we thought it was only between us. It wasn't hurting anybody. But long term, it affects the way that we react to people, the way we react to our spouse, the way we react to our children, and anything in secret. That's why you all of a sudden you see somebody and they've embezzled millions of dollars. Well, it didn't start out like that. You know, they didn't make a decision to jump off the cliff. It started with just little tiny things that just kind of add up. And over time, it's really a strategy, an intentional strategy from the enemy in our lives to destroy us long term. And the more that it happens, it wins us to his kingdom and not God's kingdom.
You know, when I was growing up in Bradford, we went to St. Bernard's and we learned about Satan, who we never referred to him as the enemy. We referred to him as the devil.
Right.
You know, Satan was the devil. He
right.
lives in hell. And when you burn in hell forever, you spend all of that eternity with Satan. And it's the Eve and the Adam and the apple and all that. Well, let me ask you a question. It's kind of an open-ended question. But when you hear Satan, what does that represent to you? What's that mean?
You know, months ago, you asked me, what is hell?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Same thing for me. I think anything absent of God's love, his peace. I mean, we know when we experience God's peace, it is what we long for. Everything is right. Our relationships are right. Our love and our family is right. That we long for that peace. And anything absent of peace and joy and kindness is Satan to me. And I think anything that drags us away from that life that God's really calling us, and we do live in a fallen world, so there's going to be a lot of that crap in our lives.
Right.
But I know it's not from God, and I can identify it.
But God created the person who created the crap.
He did, but we are the ones that chose the fallen world, the situation where Adam and Eve decided to eat of the tree of life, or the tree of good and evil, and they were told not to, and there was a fallen world. And so we pay the price. Until we are in heaven with God, we will live in a fallen world, or until Jesus comes back again someday.
It always seems to be the woman that can get the guy to do anything. You know what I mean?
I don't think he was far behind there, but
yeah. You think, meaning it probably would have happened no matter what. Well, here's why I asked that question, because I perceive God to be real. I believe I'm going to meet God one day.
Me too.
I believe that Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. He was hung on the cross, died for my sins. Even a guy as screwed up as Sam Crowley, you know, the most flawed human being on the planet, can get into heaven. I don't believe Satan exists in that same. And I'm not saying this for any other reason. It's just I never think of Satan with a pitchfork and this. I picture meeting God, though. You know what I mean? It's really weird. Like, I picture meeting God, but even if I was in a... I'm not focused on going to hell, even though I've talked about it.
You don't picture of meeting Satan?
I've got a friend who wants to know. if I had to spend time in the fires of hell, I don't envision Satan. I just can't even picture him. I don't know why. It's kind of weird. Like, maybe because I don't think I'm going to hell ever, so I don't bother thinking about it.
Yeah.
I only think about God. And I think of the enemy more as, like, when I think of the enemy, I think of a, like, a big magnet pulling me towards evil.
Right.
You know, I think of it more of a caricature, of a parable, than I do a God. That's good. I picture as a human being. So I'm always more... I resonate more with God than I do with Satan, because I look at the enemy as kind of just an image versus a real person. You know what I mean?
I totally get that, and I think you're right on.
Are we the only, like, are believers the only one who you think have that vision? I know I'm interrupting you, but do you think other people think about it and maybe in those terms too?
Yeah, you know, spirituality, whatever they look at it, they're finding a way to good and evil is a relative. We understand good and evil. We can see things that are good. We can see things that are bad. I think of God and Satan through people that I know and see. So I've met Satan before.
Really? You've met people that you believe are or influence heavily by Satan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people that worship Satan, and I've, in my traveling, have met people that have given their lives to him to do whatever they want. And
what's it mean to give your life to Satan? I didn't even resonate with that. Like, you're accepting a life of hell versus a life of heaven.
And they feel like their allegiance to him is going to give them something.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, it's a very dark place. But I also, on the flip, I spend most of my time with people that are trying to search for God and know him more and grow deeper. And I see life, and I see... You know, I was with someone this morning, and I see their marriage reconciled because God saved the two of them in their marriage, and I think that's life, that's joy. I see him saying things like, you know what, a year ago, I never would have ever dreamed I could have been in this place again after the screw-up that he made. And that's the kind of place that when I see that kind of life, I know the difference between God and Satan clearly. You know, and we decide to follow Satan in ways that maybe are sometimes intentional and sometimes unintentional, but to resist what we know we're supposed to do is really making a choice whether we like it or not. When you resist to do something that God wants you to do, you've made a decision not to follow him. And that's the part that really changes it all for me.
But there's a part people will be listening now and say, I get it, Shane. Look, we all sin. You know, if I cheat on my spouse or steal from the IRS or lie or whatever it is that I'm doing, I know I may be doing that against God, but that doesn't mean I'm doing it for Satan.
Well, if we look at the world of good and evil, we either make a decision for Christ. What other decision is there? Is there this, you know, in your background, you have this whole thing called purgatory, which I don't fully grasp. But
in the Catholic background, yeah.
But I think...
It's kind of a holding pattern until you land in heaven.
The holding pattern only gets you to go to one place at the very end.
Yeah.
So if I'm in a holding pattern and I die, the holding pattern is I didn't make a decision for God. And no, I didn't make a decision for Satan, but if I didn't make a decision to follow him, the decision's made.
Yeah.
You know, that's drawing straws to me. I'm like, you know what? Life following Christ is full of joy. Is it full of everything is perfect? Absolutely not.
Right.
I wish.
Right.
Someday, and there's a place being prepared for all of us that has that kind of peace. But God gives a peace inside that, you know, so I was with a really good friend of ours from church this morning, and she, her brother is on life support right now. They have him on a ventilator, and she desires him to be relieved from the misery mm-hmm. of this pain right now. He's
how old her brother?
I think he might be 70, but he this woman accepted Christ this last year, baptized mm-hmm. her, and she is full of life.
Yeah.
And that everything around her world is just like coming at her.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she said, I just wish he could know the kind of peace to just say it's okay to leave this world that I feel in my heart. And
but maybe he lived the life that we just described and he wants one more shot to kind of make it right.
Right.
You know?
And he can do that. And that's the thing. But laying there longing for more life like that isn't really life. I mean,
let me ask you a question. If you have not led a very good life, and you intentionally deceived God, you had these dark, in the dark actions your whole life. Your whole life was led in the dark. Okay, which might be a good title for this podcast, Living Your Life in the Dark.
Exactly.
You know?
Or come out in the light.
Yeah. Can you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in your heart on your deathbed and walk into the light?
Most definitely.
Out of the dark.
Hey, our God's grace is so amazing. He wants you. He wants you part of his kingdom. And to him, that moment on your deathbed is just the beginning to life eternal. I mean, we all live forever. It's just where we're going to spend it. I mean, the honest answer is he's not looking at that as your last moments. He's looking at it as you're going to keep going on and on forever just without the physical limitations of this world.
But then how do you reconcile that with the, I'm going to ask you on judgment day, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ, while you were down there? I mean, can you just say, you know, Rick Warren has said that in A Purpose-Driven Life, if I'm quoting that correctly. There's a lot of talk around being judged when you get in front of God. What did you do with what I gave you? And if it is, I lived my life in the dark for 70 years, sin times a million, and that 30 seconds I said, Jesus Christ, come into my heart, I ask forgiveness of my sins. Now that God is on judgment day is going to say to that person, okay.
Well, there's a lot to that question.
No, there's not. It's very simple.
And but I will tell you, I think one, you've lost the whole opportunity of having the kind of life you could have lived.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so you've already paid a lot of penalty, okay? Almost your time living in the hell of this world minus God, minus peace, minus joy, you've already had some time served.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. So, but at that moment, we are also judged. There's a whole part of Revelations that gets really, really difficult. It's the final book in the Bible mm-hmm. where Paul is looking back. He's the Apostle Paul. He's looking back on his life and saying, and these words are from have been given from God to him to write for us. And we believe that these are God's inspired words to say that Jesus is going to come again. What have you done with your life? What has it meant? And in Revelations, it clearly talks about there's levels of heaven. And that really bothers people, this discussion. Mm-hmm. But they really, the Word of God talks about there is a different rewards for you based on the way that you lived your life. I don't spend a lot of time there. I just want to be in heaven.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's
if God chooses to bless, however, life in heaven is going to be life in heaven. So, but there's a lot in Revelations. This can be a whole nother podcast. Yeah. I probably need to do some studying to be able to speak on it.
Cool. We can pick it up next week, man.
Academically. Yeah. But there's a lot written on the levels of heaven and the rewards in heaven. And we don't like to think of that because we all are on equal ground with God.
Yeah.
There's no one, even Billy Graham stands at the same place I do before cross, same place you do before the cross. And on judgment day, we all have that same opportunity. But when we get to heaven, God's promised probably an amazing place for Billy Graham.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Right. Yeah. I'm with you.
So,
and Mother Teresa's probably not far beyond.
Yeah. You know, so, and all of us who are believers rightfully say, bless those people. God, because they have been huge servants in our world, helping us to know Christ better.
I would like to dive into that on one of our next shows, because it really sucks for somebody who's born into a single parent family, crack addicted, HIV, slumlord type family. They got no shot, dude. They're going to grow up being gangsters, drug addicts, possibly even something as serious as taking another person's life, and not give a darn about it, you know? And they don't have a shot. They just don't have a shot. And so if there's different levels, and I know we're not, this wasn't the intent of this show. We'll talk about it next show. I don't know, man. I got a soft spot, and I'm just hoping that somebody like, you know, God has a soft spot for these people, knowing they didn't have a shot.
And don't forget, we serve the most grace-giving, merciful God. So though it doesn't make sense to us, all the things that happen in this world, I think God's looking out right now. And you know, we had Curry, who gave his life to Christ and gave his testimony and out of prison, and this heart that, could God really love me that much to give me a second chance as this beautiful family? And I look at them, and I just know God is just going, yeah, one of my children has come home, and I am pulling out the stops for them. There's mercy and grace waiting for people that think that they've blown it. I mean, you go in scripture in this series, this is a whole way to end this today is, you know, Daniel, we think of him in the highlight reel. He was amazing, but he was a screw up. And you look at Noah, all we hear is he built this ark and he was obedient to God. He got drunk and laid naked right after he was saved. And then his sons had to come and cover him up. And then he cursed his one son, Ham. It gets all twisted and weird because he messed up. Moses, God parts the Red Sea for him, and a day later he lacks faith. Can God really save them? And Abraham follows God, all this wisdom, has Sarah, and God's promised him these great descendants long term for his life, and yet Abraham thinks he's going to help God out by sleeping with a woman who's not his wife and having a child with her because he doesn't think God can handle this. He screws up, and yet God still used all of those men throughout the Bible to do amazing things. And I think that's the part that we forget. God wants to redeem the things that we've messed up. He wants to take all of our mess ups and make them usable by him for his glory.
Love it. That's a great place to end. That's empowering for me. Because I know a lot of my listeners are in a lot of pain, man. They listen to the show regularly because they're in pain. They don't have it figured out. Not that anybody else does. But I think all we want is hope.
That's right.
That's all I want. I just want hope, you know?
And Jesus is our only hope.
I agree with that. Shane Harden, great to have you back at it, man. You know what we missed the most, besides you? Anybody that had any knowledge of Bible scriptures, you know? Because imagine me trying to host this show by myself, just kind of on a wing and a prayer.
You're
no pun
great.
Intended, you know? making it laugh. So, hey, that's Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church. Check him out, branchischurch.us. Shane, we're going to talk next week about the different levels of heaven. That's going to be fascinating to me because I'd never heard that term before.
I'll get ready.
Fired up. It's Sam Crowley for the Everyday Saturday Podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday Podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.